If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone and maybe you're in bed because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
7:03 in the a.m., Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Orioles have some young all-stars on their team. They have Adley Rutschman, who's been to a couple of all-star games. They have Gunnar Henderson, who's an all-star. They have Jordan Westberg, who's an all-star. But you could argue that you need some veterans to go along with these guys, especially pitching. So are they in win-now mode because they believe these young guys are good enough to carry them? Or are they in, we're going to stick with what we have and we'll win when we win? I think they're in win-now mode. I do. I think they believe that this group right here can get them. I'm not saying they won't make a trade because I think they will. I'm not saying they won't make a move, but I believe they think this is the core that wins it now.
And I'm not trying to cop out, but I kind of think it's a little bit of both because the fact that they're not willing to trade any of their top prospects to go out and get something to help them win right now tells me that they buy into those guys and that they find value in keeping these guys long term until, you know, their hand is forced. But also, you still have a really good nucleus here of young players that haven't even gotten through arbitration yet. I mean, there's like six of them that you're looking at that are going to be the core of your team, at least for the next 4 or 5 years, you'd expect.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Joe, you got some text for us over there?
I do. The Orioles are relying on way too many variables, and the wide-open window is starting to shut more and more. 3 years ago, I said if this group didn't win a World Series, I would be disappointed. We might not even see a playoff series win in Adley's quote-unquote window. It's insane how badly they're fumbling this.
You thought that 3 years ago when they were still in the rebuild? Like, when we came out of the rebuild, it was a year too soon.
Yeah, I mean, if he thought that or she thought that, they're pretty good.
Stop thinking about it.
And I didn't. Maybe 2 years ago I thought that, but 3 years ago, no, man.
And their window is going to be open for a long time, guys. That's why all these young prospects are here. You may not like it and you may not like the team, but their window is open for an extremely long time right now. I said at the beginning of the year, this team was built for the regular season.
This was it? 83-win team, they knew.
Yep.
That was it.
That's the one.
That's the one. Okay. They didn't make the playoffs 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Like I said, maybe he did or she did, but 3 years ago, no. You got something else over there for us, Joe?
It's not time to sound the alarm, but the hand is hovering over it menacingly. Unless something drastic changes, we might not even make the wild card if things continue like they are. This division is too competitive to make a mistake.
Here was one on Twitter from Will. Win now mode would be obvious by them winning now. Pretty tough when the manager is playing utility infielders coming off elbow injuries in center field and changing the batting order every day. I do have to say this. Like, if you guys are going to beat him up when the analytics don't work and he's doing all the lineup switching, then give him a little bit of credit when he does last night. And he had Ryan O'Hearn in the lineup, but he was also trying to stack it with lefties, so he put him out in right field, to which somebody said, well, we're not trying to win this game. And O'Hearn starts the game off with what?
A home run. Yeah.
And again, like, I don't want him out in right field. I don't think that's the best defense you can put forward. But at times, when you're playing the game of matchups, this is what's going to happen.
And what utility infielders are they playing?
Mateo, when he went to center field.
Okay. Oh, he's in utility. Oh, in center field.
Yes,
okay,
yes. My fault. I read it too fast.
I didn't feel the whole text. Yeah.
But like, the point is, there are going to be times where, analytically speaking, and all analytics are information, guys, that you're going to use that to benefit. And I think in baseball, it helps more, almost more than any other sport.
And by if that's what the texter meant, I agree. I don't want to see Jorge Mateo in the outfield.
Oh, no.
I've said that the entire time. Well, he can play the outfield. Just because you put him out there doesn't mean he can play it.
I'm okay if I don't have to see Jorge Mateo again. Like, I'm fine with him, but people talk this guy up like he's a superstar. He's a superstar I don't want in center field or at shortstop unless he's just given spelling somebody.
Let's go to Lou in Edgewood. What's up, Lou?
Hey, guys. What's going on? This is a great conversation, by the way, this morning.
Thank you.
And I would like to say
I'd like
us to be more like the Brewers. I want to go to the playoffs every year. I want to win a World Series. Of course, that's the goal. But absolutely, let's go to the playoffs every year. It's been so long since we've done that. I'd be happy with that. I'd be happy with the playoffs for the next 10 straight years.
Everybody could say that, Lou. Everybody could say, I'd be happy for the playoffs for X amount of years and then win the World Series. That's not the criteria. Are you? Because the Brewers aren't winning the World Series. The Brewers going to be a playoff contender every. So do you want that? 8 years of the playoffs, and at the end of it, you're doing it all over again. You don't have a World Series.
Well, that's another thing, too. You got to keep the gym. They did a great job rebuilding this team, but I don't think they're doing a good job keeping the talent coming in the system to stay ahead of the game. That's the one thing I wish the Orioles would get back on doing. I know we got this young man, Honeycutt, in the minors. I'm looking forward to him coming up. But after him, I don't know much too much that's down there right now that we're looking forward to.
Yeah, well, they still have one of the best farm systems.
When did Honeycutt get drafted?
Last year.
Yeah, so there's nothing after him. He just got drafted. They got 3 first round draft picks this year. Like I said, well, after Honeycutt, I don't know who's down there.
I mean, you still have.
There's no one. He's the last class to get drafted.
But you look at the guys that are there, don't forget about Fabian, Beavers, Bradfield Jr. And if you go to AAA, you can start looking at some of the art. Chase McDermott's still there.
No, and Lou knows those guys. He's just saying you got Honeycutt, and then he's the last of it. No one's after him.
Yeah, the guy that draft this year is going to be after him.
Exactly. The dude just got drafted. There's nobody behind him. He is the last of the pack. They'll replenish it this year with three. I put up two fingers. I said three. Put up two fingers. 3 first round draft picks, man.
You were almost like, was it Richard Pryor in Moving when he gave the wrong finger?
I gave him the wrong finger! Antonio and Rosedale. What's up, Antonio?
Good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good. Happy Taco Tuesday, guys.
Same to you, man.
Yeah,
man. You know, I'm in a mood for some steak tacos tonight there, Antonio.
Yeah, babe. Which Orioles pitcher, if any, becomes a reliable starter for them this season? Kate Povich, Dean Kramer, or Charlie Morton? Ooh. Have a wonderful day, guys.
Yeah, you too, man. I'd like 2 of them.
To what?
He said, what becomes a reliable pitcher? I like 2 of those guys.
Oh, man.
Povich and Kramer.
I mean, I feel like we know what Kramer is. And it's good. Okay. It's not great. No, like, again,
he's good.
I think he's a guy that's going to be mid-4 ERA. He's a guy that you would love to have as your 4th or 5th starter, which I think that's hopefully what they envisioned him as. And he's pitched a little bit better than that at times.
If they're healthy, you got Bradish, you got Eflin, you got Grayson. Kramer, he's your number 4.
And Tommy would probably be the group that they would have went with.
Yeah,
had they been healthy, but Charlie Morton's here and he's going to pitch a gem tonight.
And that means Cade is left out.
God, if he gets rocked tonight, we're going to have so much fun.
I'm getting to like Cade.
I like Cade.
You were ahead of me on that one.
Yeah,
you were. I'm going to like that kid. Kim McCusick joins us at 7:45, but on the other side, Ed Norris, we're giving out shovels.
Yes, we are. I'm going to give it to the officials in last night's game. And it's going to translate to all sports because it's getting ridiculous.
If you have a shovel, give us a call. Give us a text, 410-583-1057. Hit us up on Twitter, at BBMS1057 The Fan. Shovels next.
The Big Bad Shovel of Wisdom. Sponsored by Jerry's Toyota. With exclusive benefits, including 4 years of free service maintenance or 50,000 miles. Jerry's Toyota, just north of the Beltway on Bel Air Road and online at jerrystoyota.com. Sports Radio 105.7. The Fan.
Time to give out shovels. Ed Norris, who gets your shovel this morning?
The officiating crew of last night's national championship game. I mean, we complain about this all the time during the season. It doesn't matter what sport it is. It could be baseball with the strike zone, football with everything, ridiculous calls. And now last night, look, that was a great game. That really was. You had two number one seeds going at it. Really close game. Good comeback by Florida, down by 12. Exciting. Very physical. Four fouls called in the first half. 26 in the second half. 26. Both teams ended up in a double bonus. I mean, it changed the way the whole game. It was like two different games, two different officiating crews. How do you expect these kids to adjust? They play one way in the first half, and then you have a second half that you call completely differently. It changes everything. It's just, it's not fair. It's not good for the fan base, not good for the players. And I just, there's got to be a way of, you know, regulating officials. It just, this goes on, it seems like, in every sport. And it wasn't like the players got egregious. They were just calling things differently. It just, it really ruined it for a lot of people. And, I mean, everyone's, the social media's lighting up about it. All the, you know, major sports outlets are talking about it. So, it's a thing.
Jeremy Conn, who gets your shovel?
Yeah, we head to Florida. Polk County middle school teacher. Oh, middle school principal, excuse me. He got arrested for doing something, oddly enough. This is a crime committed by most middle schoolers. Listen to this goober. Here's what he did. He went into a Walmart in Winter Haven, and he had talked to his buddies about something that works when you skip scanning. Hey, don't ring up everything is what basically what he was saying. Lewis had been caught placing a bag of disposable foam plates between more expensive items to steal them and only pay for the cheaper items. He had tried to steal a large pack of light bulbs, bacon, frozen butterfly shrimp, totaling $37.45. The middle school principal who admitted the crime, told the officers that his friends had told him about this shoplifting hack or tactic, if you will, and he wanted to try it out for himself. And now, for $37.45, you may end up losing your job and you got arrested. He said, "I did something dumb today and I understand it." How did you not understand it beforehand?
Yeah, that's...
You're a middle school principal, you jackass.
That is... Is that going coming back at 8:30 maybe?
Well, I thought about it, but I got three other stories that I like better.
You got three better than that?
Yeah.
Man, it's going to be a good World of Stupid. My shovel goes to the Baltimore Sun High School Sports Center. Baltimore City, Baltimore County, Anne Arundel County, Harford County, Howard County. That's the Baltimore metro area based on what they vote. This year, we went 23-10, and we were voted the number two team in the Baltimore metropolitan area. That's a lot of schools.
Behind St. Francis.
There's a lot of schools in these areas, Ed. We were voted number two. Well, Rob, why are you giving them a shovel? I have a senior who signed to play Division I basketball, who was averaging 22 points a game and 11 rebounds before she got injured. But she still played as many games, if not more, than some of these people.
Mm-hmm.
I have a junior who has at least 10 Division I offers with an average 16 points, 11 rebounds, and 6 assists a game. And if you look at the stats of some of these, you'll understand why I'm giving you those stats. They had another junior who's getting D1 looks now who averaged a double-double.
I'm just telling you, I'd take Kiki over most of those people on that list, and I don't even know them.
Now, Ed, we're the number two team in the Baltimore Metro, and we did not have one All-Metro performer. Not one All-Metro player. Not one. Not one. You mean to tell me you put 20 kids on this list, 20, and you can't find one from the number two team in the Baltimore Metro?
I like this because, and so this is Rob standing up for his kids. Not necessarily, this has nothing to do with
him. It ain't
got
to do with me.
Because as I said, if it were just about his players not getting in, then that just says they have a great coach, and we know that's not necessarily true. Is there any
coach can't win without players? I've tried that before.
I'm obviously joking, but like, is there any criteria to like? Did you run the score up too many times to get them eligible?
Stop.
Come on, listen, hey Jeremy, Ed. You can say, well, who'd you beat? Well, no, if you're questioning our schedule, you wouldn't have us number two, but I'll go through it. A team that won Baltimore County and a state championship, beat them. We beat the Harford County champ. We beat the Howard. We beat these county champs. We beat them. We played them and beat the only team in the Baltimore metropolitan area that we played that we lost to was St. Francis. Nobody else. We were beating teams in the Baltimore. We beat the Harford County champs by 30 plus points. Who did that?
Yeah, nobody else.
The players on the floor. We're number two. We can't have one All-Metro performer, not one.
Hey, Rob, nobody else did that to the Harford County champions because they all stopped pressing when they got up 20.
Sorry you said that. I knew that was going to happen.
But they
ran the clock, so.
I actually like that you're doing this because you're standing up for your girls, and this is something where it's up to, I don't know who's voting on it and puts these things together, but sometimes it feels like, I remember when my son was up for it, and I didn't expect him to get first all team. There were some really good players. When you look at what my son did his senior year, he got invited to the county versus city all-star game, and he couldn't even get a third team, an honorable mention, something.
We're the number two team in the Baltimore Metro. We can't get somebody, one of the 10 players on a second team?
Yeah.
I mean, this goes on at every level. I'm sorry to hear that because it just seems like it's a big snub.
And I'm going to tell you this, Baltimore son, if you didn't have one of our players in the top as all Metro, you didn't watch our games.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hey, who should have been the MVP in the NFL last year?
You're right.
Shut up, Ed.
You know, I mean, honestly, it goes back to a song, but most recently, Rashawn quoted it. Are you watching the games or are you just skimming through it?
Yeah.
Because Robert, are you bragging about your players? Yes.
You should.
If you watch Rosedale Christian Academy once and you could come away from that saying we don't have at least one All-Metro player, at least one. I said we got three. But if you can say we don't have one, then you're not watching us. You never saw. If you don't have one player on this first or second team from Rosedale, you didn't watch the games.
What did London average?
London averaged 22 points.
And you lost her when?
Lost her 17 games into the season.
Yeah, and then you still went on to win the championship without the person that's leading your team.
Because the girl that's behind her came in. She finished the season averaging 11 points a game. But when London was gone, she took over for her. She averaged 16 points a game during those games. She averaged that. So what are you watching?
Yeah, it can't be coaching when you have this many good players.
Hey, man. I go out and get players, bro. I tried it that way.
Hey, look. That's
it's so much better and easier when you got ballers. I love ballers so much when I don't got some more.
Yeah. They're on their way.
They're on their way. Kim McCusick joins us at 7:45, but on the other side, are people putting too much focus on Shedeur Sanders and how he pats the rock before throwing it? Do you think it's impacting his draft stock? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
What happens next?
A massive trade
happens here.
We actually just signed two players.
We're hopeful that we can get a long-term deal done.
Baltimore Sports Radio, 105.7, The Fan.
Step up to the plate, gentlemen. Is your performance in bed feeling more like a strikeout than a home run? You're not alone. Half the lineup is sitting on the bench with ED. But don't rely on old school game plans. Swing for the fences with Gainswave at LifeMed Institute. This all-star treatment gets your blood pumping like a fastball down the middle. No prescriptions, no downtime, just game-winning results. Knock it out the park tonight. Call 410-575-1200 or slide into one of their locations in Timonium, Columbia, Bel Air, or Rehoboth Beach, or at LifeMedInstitute.com. Your biggest fan will be cheering for you the Grand Slam. 410-575-1200. And if you're feeling run down because of the challenges of everyday life, supercharge your day with LifeMed Institute Ditch Hydration and dive into vitality with IV infusions. Imagine electrolytes, minerals, and vitamins. Give them a call, 410-575-1200, or go to LifeMedInstitute.com and tell them Rob Long sent you. 7:32 in the a.m., Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Shedeur Sanders, let me ask you this, Ed. How much did you watch him play?
Not much.
Okay. Jeremy, you watched him a lot, right?
A ton, yeah.
All right. If he's not Deion Sanders' son, where is he getting drafted?
Not in the first round.
Not even close. I've seen him play enough to know that.
Okay.
Well, so I talked about, people called me a hater for talking about Colorado all year long and how much I didn't like Deion Sanders and all this or that. I don't have any ill will towards Shedeur whatsoever, but they've been tearing him apart. talking about not only the padding of the ball was one thing, but his throwing motion, saying, like, that's not going to cut it at the next level. You're not going to be able to make those passes the way that you're throwing them. And again, we talked about padding the football. Like, if you have any tells,
yep,
they're going to find them and they're going to exploit you.
Some would argue, Ed, they're only picking him apart because he's Deion Sanders' son. I would venture to say the only reason he's being talked about is because he's Deion Sanders' son. Because I agree with Jeremy. I don't look at him and see a first-round draft pick. I look at him and see a pro quarterback. I do. I don't know whether he's a franchise guy, but I don't see him as a first-round draft pick.
I don't either. And I knew that the limited times I saw him. Like, eh. They were talking about him like he's going to be, you know, 1-1. Like, I don't see it. And I don't buy into the, you know, the reason they're picking him apart is because he's Deion's kid. I think, like, as you said, the reason he's even in the conversation because he's Deion. It's like Rick Bronny James. You know, it's a tough thing for these guys. You know, they got big, gigantic shoes to fill when their fathers are, you know, Hall of Fame players in whatever sport. But if they're not as good, clearly, just it's clear as glass. They're just not as good. They're not on that level. So why do we have to lie about it?
Jeremy, you think the focus on him padding the ball is bringing his draft stock down?
No.
Or do you think the focus on everything is bringing his draft stock down?
I think it's a little bit of everything because, you know, I think there are some teams that now need quarterbacks that have failed in drafting them before. By the way, that's all the teams up top. Tennessee, the Giants, the Browns. They've all failed in drafting these quarterbacks, and that's why they're sitting up there again looking for what? Possibly another quarterback. And I feel like you're almost going to have buyer's remorse where you're going back to what you did before going, if we're not feeling this guy as the top quarterback in the draft, why would we take him in the top five? You know what I mean? Like, again, like Cam Ward, people are talking about him. He's got his warts, too. There's not.
Yes.
You're not looking at any of these guys. I got news for you. The Louisville quarterback might be the one I'd rather take a chance. Was that Tyler Shough? Mm-hmm. I'd rather take a chance on him at mid-rounds than grab one of these guys at the top.
One thing I used to talk to about Vinny Serrato all the time, especially when it came to quarterbacks, Ed, teams who need a quarterback convince themselves to fall in love sometime with mediocre quarterbacks.
I think that's completely true, and I think the reason he's even talked about is this on his draft because this draft is really pedestrian, and I think that's the only reason he'd be up there. Seriously, and I agree with Vinny. I think you talk yourself into it because you want to justify it to your fan base when it comes to the draft.
I think the Ravens did that years ago with Kyle Bowler.
I
think they convinced themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, we can do this with this guy. We're a great defense. We run the football. He can't make mistakes.
He Johnny threw Unitas, the ball through the goalpost from how far?
60 yards.
Wow. Knees. When's he going to do that in the game?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
I'm not talking about your mindless combine activities. That would be one right there. Let me see how far you can throw the ball from your knees.
They started doing that with all these, like Cam Newton. It's like, oh, did you see that? Hey, guys hitting the upright, and it's like, okay, they're accurate. But when are you throwing the ball to the upright? Just let me know. Hit the receiver in stride. But again, with the quarterbacks in this year's class, people are convincing themselves to fall in love with Jackson Dart because it almost feels cliche to like one of the two guys up top, and it's like, oh, we got to go down that a little bit. Maybe Dart's the guy. I don't know that any of these guys are ones that I would want to kick the tires on, not early in the draft at all.
Yeah.
But I say this every year, though. Like, this has been my big thing, and one of the reasons why I was dead wrong on Patrick Mahomes, but like people keep forcing the issue with some of these quarterbacks going, oh, this guy's this and he's that. Well, why? What made you look at Mitch Trubisky and go, I got to draft that guy in the top five after one good year at North Carolina? What? You know, like you keep looking at these guys in the league and you're going, why are you reaching for them? It just doesn't make sense. It does, but it doesn't.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Are people putting too much focus on Shedeur Sanders and how he pats the ball before throwing pats it? Do you think it's impacted his draft style? Jeremy, you said, Ed Jeremy said it makes sense that they draft these guys. I would argue that it does not, and I'm going to tell you why.
No, I'm saying it makes sense because they need a quarterback. That's the only reason.
That's why it doesn't, because if you do a blind taste test, really, and you take the names off of these guys, you look at these rookie quarterbacks that you have to draft and marry yourself to for 5 years, and you look at a journeyman that's there that you can sign for 1 or 2 years, I'd rather get the journeyman.
Yeah, this one's definitely Shedeur. I can taste. Oh.
I would get the veteran and sign him to a 2 year deal as my stopgap. I would get a Tyrod Taylor. You know what I mean? I would get a Geno Smith. But, I would get one of those guys to get me to be my bridge, because I'm now married to this kid for 5 years. I'm going to realize 2 years into it that he's not worth it. And now I got to do what the Cardinals did when they got Josh Rosen. And then you had to go out and get Kyler Murray. They could have just gotten a veteran to do what Josh Rosen did. Nothing. For cheaper. And less commitment.
He just basically rode the pine.
Yeah.
But again, like with the quarterbacks that we have, and the reason I say it doesn't make sense, but it kind of does, is because all these teams are chasing the most important position on the field. We talk about it all the time. Yeah. Got to find your quarterback. And is it at any cost? Because when you're chasing, like, I mean, Ed, you're a Jets fan, and I don't mean to drag you here again, but like,
there we go.
It's been abysmal watching them draft quarterbacks that have no business being in this league.
Yeah, except somebody's got to play on the center. So, I mean, I think that's the reason they do it, because they've had some real clunkers.
And then Carolina checks in to make sure they're no good and finds out, yeah, they weren't any good. Was that a Jets quarterback? We'll take, yeah, he stunk too.
I think Carolina has one now, though. I think this kid is starting to get it together. Bryce Young out of Alabama. I think it appears to me that the new coach there, they hired last year, he came in on Bryce Young, and he didn't want him. And he tried everything he can to replace him, and somebody tapped him on the shoulder and said, "Look, Chief, give him a shot.
What are you doing? You're gonna put your eggs in the basket of the journeyman backup quarterback?
Exactly.
Come on,
look,
man.
Look, Chief, you better go ahead and get this guy a shot before you get run out of Carolina." And they gave him a shot. They put offense around him. They put a game plan around him, and the kid looks more than half decent. Kind of looks like the quarterback I thought he'd be.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he's a carry you along the way quarterback, but he's at least a guy, if you put the right pieces around him, he can win some games. I don't know whether or not Shedeur Sanders, Cam Ward. Cam Ward and these rest of the, I don't know if they're like that. I just don't, man.
I'm
not in love with any of these quarterbacks.
Everybody's trying to, they're basically saying Tyler Shough can be the next Bo Nix. You know, so you're either looking for the guy or we're trying to find the guy that slides in the draft that no one thought was going to be the guy. And I, like, when you try to force that square peg into a round hole, man, it's just not going to work.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, don't convince yourself to fall in love.
Steve, who do you think will be the first to pick in the draft this year? You think it'll be a non-quarterback?
No, I think it's Cam Ward.
I think it's Cam Ward. Really? I think it's going to be a quarterback, yeah.
It's Tennessee. I have no confidence in them to draft the right person.
Steve Molesky, I got all the confidence in the world in him. He'll join us at 8 o'clock to talk Orioles baseball, but on the other side. Film Study Baltimore, Kim McCusick up next in studio on The Fan. 7:47 in the a.m. It's time for Kim McCusick, Film Study Baltimore. Good morning to you, Ken.
Hey, Rob. How's life going?
Life is good, man. Life is good. I can't complain. Listen, we got Marcus Williams, Eddie Jackson. They're gone. You got the versatility of absolute versatility of Kyle Hamilton, Audarius Washington still around. Sanusi Kane, Bo Braid, they're the special teams guys. You got a lot of categories for safeties for the Baltimore Ravens. As this draft approaches in 16 days, where do you want the Ravens to go in terms of that position in the draft?
Yeah, their very specific need is for a free safety and not a guy who's versatile in any way. That's just not what the team should be looking for. Pure free safety characteristics. They need a guy who can step in if there's an emergency due to an injury. They need a split field safety who can maintain a cover two shell and allow Hamilton to move up to slot corner or dime. And, you know, way down the list, they need a dime back, but those guys are probably on the team in either Kane or Braid or Hamilton if he can move up. So, honestly, it's just a free safety they need. So a ball hawking guy. And again, I hear this a lot of times with strong safeties is if you have two strong safeties, you have this versatile safety group. They don't need that.
Yeah.
So, Ken, who do you see as a realistic possibility for the Ravens? A kid out of South Carolina, Notre Dame. There's a bunch of them on the list.
Yeah, so there are, and there's guys every round. It's a very layered draft in terms of who they might get, who has the kind of characteristics that I'd be looking for. But Nick Amonwori of South Carolina and Xavier Watts of Notre Dame are guys they could have in round one. One of those might last till round two, and Watts is the guy who would probably last till round two. I'm not real high on Malachi Starks. I know a lot of people are, but he didn't have good coverage numbers last year, so I'm not real excited about that. In the third round, there's a kid from Texas, Andrew Makuba. He'd be about a par pick at 91, and I use these things, a par or a value pick. You're getting the guy at the right spot if you get him on par. You're getting the guy at value if you get him later than that. Makuba could also be a guy they get in round four. The guy who got hurt this year was Winston. He'd be a value in round four, but he'll be long gone by then, the Penn State kid. And then three guys, Billy Bowman, Jordan Hancock, and Ransaw, Caleb Ransaw of Tulane, would be guys I'd look for in round five. And then in round six or seven, it's really anyone on my list of the top 12 or 13 guys that you might actually get a strong safety at that point, have some fit issues, but you're also talking a sixth or seventh round pick, so you're just moving on.
Hey, Ken, is there something to be said about what you want to see in the Ravens safety and who they draft? Like, what type of attributes do you want them to have?
I mean, sure. I mean, I'll give you my personal preference. All right, I want free safety traits. So to me, that means I want to see a guy who, first and foremost, is a loose bracket coverage guy who plays for the overthrow, handles single high and split field roles without coverage breakdowns, and generates turnovers. And with turnovers come fear to throw the ball even in bounds against the Baltimore Ravens. So I want all those things. Probably the most important thing, and the thing that disqualifies somebody as a true free safety candidate is what Deshaun Elliott had as a characteristic. Good player, by the way, right now for the Steelers. He's one of their best defensive players. But as a free safety, he didn't really work out because he was a guided missile to the midsection of any receiver who was back there rather than playing for the overthrow. And you know, Ed Reed was a play for the overthrow guy, and the Ravens have had others, Rod Woodson, who embodied that. That's my first thing. There are two other things. One is I want to see coverage metrics that corroborate the testing. So the ideal candidate has both good testing and great coverage metrics. And if I had the second choice, I'll take the great coverage metrics with not as good testing, because free safety is really an instincts position more than it is a testing position. And then the third thing I want is I want good tackling, and I measure that as stops to missed tackles or just a straight missed tackle percentage for a free safety. And I don't want a lot of excuses about a guy who does certain things at the safety position that make his coverage metrics bad or that somebody else was responsible for it. Usually, and particularly the way that PFF assigns targets, they're very strict with the linebackers and not as strict with the safety. So when a safety doesn't work out, it's usually his fault.
Ken McCusick joins us, filmstudybaltimore.com.
Now, you brought up Ardarius Washington a little bit, and what are your expectations for him? Because that's kind of, I know you just talked about, but like kind of a wild card for, do you believe he's what we saw most of last year, or is it maybe not as good and it's more of what we saw before?
I think, you know, there's a lot of skills there, and he's a guy who can play, not break down in coverage assignments, be back there. One of the issues with Ardarius that's kind of a ticking time bomb is he's not a particularly good tackler, and I'm okay with that. You know, if you're getting a pure ball hawk, he's not at the Geno Stone level where you're really getting a lot of ball hawkery in exchange for bad tackling. Mm-hmm. I think that it might break down for him some there. Very versatile player. I mean, he can come in to play the slot, and the Ravens have not tried to address the slot corner position this offseason. They cut Mollett, and they haven't really found the safety yet who's going to allow Ardarius or Kyle Hamilton to move down to play big nickel. So they're really, Marlon Humphrey is the only guy they have to go to right now. That tells you a lot about how much they trust Ardarius Washington, I think, at the slot.
Ken, I love Washington, as you know. But he's like 5'8", 5'7", probably.
6'1", in heels.
Yeah, if he wears Hokas. Kyle Hamilton's 6'4". Is there an advantage against someone like Emenwari from South Carolina, who's 6'3", to have two really big safeties back there?
Emenwari is to safeties what Bo Jackson is to running backs. There's nobody in the history of the NFL, pretty much, who's brought the same amount of physical gifts to the position. He's ridiculously fast and huge. And I like having a underneath zone safety who's a tall guy, Ed, because I think he provides a looming presence that quarterbacks have trouble throwing over. We've seen Hamilton make some plays a couple of years ago against the Browns when he tipped the ball to himself for the touchdown on, I think it was right, their first play from scrimmage.
Yeah, against the Browns.
Yeah.
There you go. Hey, Ken McCusick, I love Emenwari naturally. Gamecock, I see him a lot. I just don't know whether he's going to be there at pick 27.
Oh, there's a good probability he's not. Yeah. A lot of people talk about how raw the guy is, but last year had a 37.1 passer rating against. He gave up about 5 yards per throw, per time he was targeted. I mean, it's ridiculously good. The other guy that I really love is Watts. 0 touchdowns and 13 interceptions the last 2 years.
Hey, Rob, that's how old Dirty Bastard likes it. Raw.
That's it, Raw?
Yeah. Yeah. It works out.
Can't tell folks all about Film Study Baltimore.
All right. So we did just about 5 minutes here on the safeties. If you'd like the two-hour version, that's out yesterday on the website in two different podcasts. But a lot of fun talking about that with various analysts in the Baltimore area. FilmStudyBaltimore.com.
Thank you very much, Ken. Appreciate you, man. Jeremy Kahn's World is Stupid at 8:30. Don't go anywhere. But on the other side, we're talking some Orioles baseball with the man. Steve Molesky joins us on The Fan.